Maybe this year your dreams are a little bigger. You might be dreaming about a safer car, a new home, or the kitchen of your dreams. CME, Ohio's number one credit union, believes progress starts with understanding your options. You can explore your possibilities in minutes when you see what you qualify for at cmefcu.org. And best of all, there's no impact to your credit. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA. Visit cmefcu.org for details.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It would appear that the search for love is almost exclusively online, although there are signs that the attractions of that methodology to find a life partner are waning a bit. But still, there are many relationships where the initial connection is made on a first date in a real-life situation, not online. So it's a bar, it's a restaurant, a coffee bar. Some will waste a lot of time before deciding or not they have found someone significant. But there are ways to spot the red flags early, or are there? Well, I'm joined by Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So we're just conjecturing. This is the first date. You've been talking online. You've been chatting back and forth. You know there's a certain amount of common ground.
Yeah.
But now you're going to meet for the first time.
Exactly. You're going to meet for the first time. And we talked a little bit previously about, you know, people using ChatGPT and all of that. I think it's important maybe just to preface it that behind the first date, is always a lot of this, you know, to and fro on texting. And I think people, it is a little loaded, you know, it is a little bit, people, as we know, are a little bit worn out with all the apps. But so in a way, sometimes people have a little more invested in the first date than we might think. So it's worth mentioning.
Let's discount the fact that the fellow who's 6'2" in the photograph is actually 5'4".
Yeah.
That he has abs to beat the band, where instead he has a beer belly.
Yeah.
Let's forget about that stuff.
Yeah, let's assume it's all reasonably okay.
Yeah, reasonably okay. No.
Yes.
There still could be red flags.
Yes, exactly. No big monster surprises in that sense. As you say, you meet the person you kind of thought you'd meet. So what makes the date go really well and what makes it go wrong? And I suppose that's where I was focusing, almost like the tripwires. And so I've kind of just made a kind of a list here of a few, and I'll just flick through them and you can chat around them. But money is a really important one. You often hear this question, you know, oh, who pays on the first date? I think it's really, it's not just about whether you're too generous. You have to be careful not to be too generous. Careful not, also not to be mean, not to turn it into a debate. And really, once money comes up, it's very tricky, I think, unless you set it out at the beginning.
Now, if you talk to a lot of females of that dating age, they will expect on the first date the guy to pay.
Yes. And I've heard a lot of girls talk about it. And I think, you know, emancipation as far as we like. But there's something more. It's more about the indication of interest that if he pays, if it's done in this way, that if the guy pays on the first date, really it's a kind of a show of intent or a show of interest. But for the girl, I think it's not right to let that happen if you have no interest.
Okay,
so
if you know this is the first and last date,
yes,
then you insist on splitting.
I would think you insist. I think that's the right way.
Even if it's kibos?
You know where you're going before you start. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think you don't want to feel owing.
No, you don't.
You know, a big slap-up meal with fine wines and champagne and all the rest on a first date is inappropriate.
It's a bit old style, and younger people are not interested in that kind of thing. I think it's just the gesture
is
what's important.
We tend to be speaking of this from the female side.
Yeah,
now, I can understand females maybe being a few minutes late because it's insecure often for a woman walking into a bar, maybe
alone,
full of guys, and they're ogled or whatever, and they have to go to the bar, sit down, open their phone
and
just
wait
to appear busy and preoccupied.
Yeah.
But if the guy who's master of all he surveys, if he's late, what then?
Well, I think there has to be a little understanding, but I think you're right there. I mean, if you can be a little sensitive to the fact that for a girl to sit in a bar, she can kind of have sometimes attention her way that maybe she doesn't want, or it's a little less comfortable for her. So maybe it's more important that the guy is there, you know, reasonably on time. And look, we've got communications. If you're going to be late, say so.
And you're, everything's forgivable. You've met on the phones, so you might as well keep in touch on the phone.
Yeah, everything, exactly. Everything is forgivable. But what's not forgivable, I suppose, is unreasonable lateness that just shows a kind of disregard. Mm. No text, no, you know, they're red flags in a sense.
Now, what about you're sitting there, you're having a bit of a chat, you're having a drink or whatever, and your man keeps looking at the latest score from the Tottenham Arsenal match.
Looking at your phone is out, isn't it really? I mean, even as we know it in ordinary sort of meals out or whatever, the person who's looking at your phone, at their phone, it's so, feels so rude.
And I have to know, my team are two down at the moment.
Exactly. Well, then, you know, it's the message is I'm not interested enough to keep off that phone. I think it's and I think it's a kind of real mood killer. That's really what I'm talking about. If you want the thing to go well, you have to give it your attention, be present and be open, be engaged, be curious, be yourself, be spontaneous, but don't tell them your whole life story. We don't need, as I say, your whole life unpacked and every trauma you've ever had between the, you know, starter and the main or over the first two
now,
drinks.
We've all heard of Dutch courage, be it for a fella or a girl that might have a gin just to relax a bit. But if there's a lot of drink taken by one party or the other.
Well, you see, if you're chasing ahead of each other, that's really a problem. It's, you know, it's quite different if you meet together, you have drinks together, you're kind of moving along and the mood is sort of similar or you're softening up in a similar kind of way. But if one is three cocktails in and you're having, you know, your glass of beer, it makes a difference and I think it's a mistake. Again, the mood can't match and the chemistry gets drowned out in this sort of dominant kind of exuberance or whatever that one person has and the other can't follow.
Yeah, sometimes you talked about money earlier, but you know, one person is guzzling cocktails in some bars, 15, 16 euros. The guy's on a pint at 6 euros.
Yeah.
And there's an inequality then of the way the bill is piling up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're important little factors, you know. But I think, so another really important reveal, you know, you're kind of, if you think of it, you're slightly revealing your persona, aren't you, on a date? I mean, that's what you either fall for or you don't, or you like or you don't. And so some things really show your personality more than others. And I think how you deal with money is one. I think how you talk to bar staff and how you talk to the people, you know, if you're nice and mannerly and sweet with people around you, but also mannerly, nice and sweet about the people who you talk about, like who comes into the conversation. Oh, did you know who, you know, you might have somebody in common, you know her. Oh, I don't like her. She's this and she's that. That's nasty. And if I was at the other end of that, I would pick that up as, so this is how people are regarded. So people look for kindness and sincerity. I mean, they do in general. Look, if you're looking for, you know, a relationship, you're looking for somebody who's a little sincere, not too fickle and not too nasty about others.
Now, the idea of this first date is to find out a little more about each other.
Yes.
Tell me about your last boyfriend / girlfriend.
Yeah.
Do you or do you not?
Do you or do you not? I think I think this is, as I say, it is not a time to unpack your story. You don't owe anybody on a first date to tell them your whole life story. It's a big issue. People have a tendency to overtalk, overgive, overshare until, and what it really does is it kind of drowns it and it can dominate it because, like we know from therapy, if you start talking about something that's hurtful or painful, I mean, the whole purpose in therapy is to draw it out. But when the person actually articulates it, often they really feel the hurt. And so they really are drowning their own kind of mood as well. So keep off it. Keep on the top layer. Yes, such a thing was 2 years or it was 1 year or whatever. And let's not go into that now. It was okay, you know, or we ended as friends or we didn't end as friends. So we'll talk about that another time. I think you can mention it. You can be open, but you don't have to go in and unpack the trauma.
I mean, some people who are a bit broken from a previous relationship are looking for someone maybe to help fix that, mend that broken heart.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Maybe the first date is not the time to share.
I think so. And you can often pick up that this person can understand you, but it's a dangerous road to go down if you just try and sort it out with, you know, sort of with this person. You're not meaning to, but really you're asking them to listen to this almost in therapy mode, because what can they say? They know nothing.
Some of the comments coming in, there will be hundreds of dates before you meet the right person. Therefore, it's not fair to expect the man to pay for every first date.
Absolutely. I'm not saying it's fair. It's entirely up to, but I think often you will hear women say, you hear it a lot on first dates and, you know, First Dates Ireland and all of that. They will say that they take it as a very nice gesture. But I think it's really not nice to take that if you're not going further.
Someone else says, I thought we were living in the age of equality. They both should be there on time.
Well, yes. I mean, yeah, it's not really to do with...
Except that vulnerability,
yes.
As I a female standing or sitting in a bar.
Well, I was just responding to what you had said there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I completely agree. We're independent, smart people and we should be there on time. But, you know, that kind of chivalrous thing is around. People still love it. There's still a niceness around it. People like, you know, we can't negate, you know, all our kind of, how would you say, our evolvement. And so some of that is still there. And I don't think it should be taken negatively.
We have a text from Seamus. Maybe a lot of male listeners listening to this one. Isn't it interesting that despite all the cries for equality, that women, W-I-M-M-I-N, still want to see dating inequality in, so the lads pay and the lads wait. It's called a la carte equality.
But I mean, I think that's a fair point from a male point of view, because men do, you know, they're caught in that kind of, if you like, kind of little dilemma. But I'm just giving you what I hear from women, that it is, I mean, I'm not dating, let me put it that way. So if I was dating, I would be paying for myself. But I'm just saying that the women that I talk to, they take it as a kind of a security factor. And I don't think it's weakness, or I don't think it's about not being emancipated. I think it is just about, you know, the kind of male-female kind of relationship. We're not in a romantic relationship. It's not about equality. It's a yin and yang. It's a kind
We had a colleague here who expected the guy to pay on every date, simply because her maintenance costs, preparing herself for the date, were much higher than the lads.
Yes, I've heard that logic. Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I don't agree with it. No, I just don't agree with it. I mean, I don't think it's great. And I think if you're not really interested in the guy, I don't think it's nice to take, you know, to let them buy on the first date. I really don't. That's my honest view.
Okay. Now, in terms of the next date, and, you know, he says, well, next time, can we go to the zoo? And and you think that zoos are really not the place for you.
Yeah.
And it could be anything. It could be a match in Croke Park or in Talca Park, whatever.
And what are you saying? Who pays? Are you back
no,
to
No, I'm
pay?
Just saying, should you kind of go along with it? Just go with the flow?
No, I don't think go along is the run. I think be open, be honest, be straight, be yourself. Say, you know, zoo, love it. Or hate it, whichever it is.
So if you're thinking long term, she doesn't like the rugby. Quickly. And I am a Leinster supporter. I go every Friday night or whatever it is. Yeah. And I want to continue doing that into the relationship.
Yeah. And the quicker you show your hand, the less time you will waste. If you have a girl who hates rugby and she's not going to go, you may as well find out early. In the same way as if you're not interested in the same things, the same sort of pursuits, you don't want to, you know, I think you should be curious enough to go.
By the way, should you prepare for this? I mean, do you have a strategy going?
I wouldn't have a list.
You wouldn't have a list.
No, I wouldn't have a list. But I think I would say to people, for all of the women and men that I am talking to, there is a kind of nervousness around dates, which is, you know, I think you have to accept that it's a kind of a showing of yourself. It's a revealing of yourself. And if you're coming at that from a very vulnerable place where you've recently been very hurt or you're feeling quite low, you do have to be a little careful with yourself. So I, you know, in what you place yourself into, what stresses you place yourself into. And I would just say to people on dates, there's two sides here. You're not the only one. The other person is bringing themselves into the situation as well. It's a very open, honest.
And to give them a second chance if you think that it hasn't gone well, you know, it's just been all a bit nervous, a bit confused. Do you give them
a second
chance?
Well, if your nerves are in the way, I think you have to be aware of that. It's also very important to say it. I think it's no harm to say it. You know, just look, I'm a bit nervous when I start out. But I'll be fine in a minute. You know, it's fine. The truth is, we know that people find others very attractive, in fact, when they sort of reveal a little kind of flaw or fault in themselves. So that's, as I say, don't unpack the whole life story of it. But it is quite nice when you see people, you know, if you're in the company of somebody and they seem very in control and then they make a mistake, and it's how they recover from that mistake or error or, you know, little. It can be quite funny. And so it can give an opening for a bit of fun.
Like levity. They call the new lad by the old boyfriend's name.
Yeah, well, that's just an error. But I would say to you, Pat, I have a lot of men who come to me and they feel very much, I've said this before here, they feel very much that there's a kind of a box-ticking exercise. They don't feel it's a date. They feel it's an interrogation. It's, you know, what do you got? Where are you? What are you doing? You know, how is your career? Where do you think you're? Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? You know, it's almost like an interview. And it's, I mean, it's just a complete chemistry killer, you know. Also, there's no space. Like, you have to let space happen. It has to be some kind of quiet, if you like, in the moment where you can pick up the mood and pick up what's going on.
So you reckon the guys are subject to this checklist, looking at his prospects, in other words?
Yeah, I do think there's a fair bit of interrogation. And I think it's to do with the fact, women will probably kill me for this, but I think it's probably to do with the fact that women are tired. Women are tired, men are tired, but the women I meet are very tired of, dating on the apps and, going on dates, thinking it went really well and then getting a complete nothing or three or 4 weeks down the way. And then suddenly that person disappears off their, screen. And it's so disappointing. But it's not just disappointing, it's wearing emotionally. And so they come on a date with a kind of an agenda. And we have to be careful of that.
Okay, the final thing is, this is date one, and it's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that clear at the end? Listen, this was a no-hoper. We're not going anywhere.
I think be kind. Be straight, but I think it is worth, I don't believe in wasting time. And remember, when you're wasting your time, you're wasting their time. There's plenty of people around.
Make it clear.
Make it clear.
I really enjoyed tonight.
Maybe not that moment. Listen, this was lovely. But I'm not sure. You don't have to say it right then. You can do it in the response later or whatever. But I do think that you are a lot better to not waste time. If you don't feel a spark and if you don't feel really interested and a little bit excited about seeing that person again. Now, then I wouldn't go forward. If it went reasonably well, like it went 70 to 80% well, but there were one or two things you weren't sure about, then I would definitely say people should continue.
Okay, very good. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Thank you very much. Well, now.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.